Okay, we're up to Sha'ar Shlishi Perek Tshi'i now. It's been a few weeks since we learned. I was traveling, then there was Purim. And we did a special Shir for Purim, I should say. But I don't really remember 100%, honestly, what the last Perek was about. Well, I know it focused on Yirah Shamayim. But I don't think that there's really a continuation, so I think it's okay. This is really a pivot. And I think you'll find that this is a incredibly powerful and important piece, which could change your life if you let it. Let's put it that way. And the starting point for this piece in Revolbi here in Ali Shore is the psukim in towards the beginning of Shmos, in which we are told that as things continued to get worse and worse for the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, at some point it got to the point where Hashem, so to speak, sees the Jewish people. Vayara lukim es b'nei Israel. V'yeda Elokim. He sees and he knows about their suffering. Rashi says, V'yeda Elokim, Nasan Elehem, Lev, Veloha Elim Einav. What does it mean to know? It means that Hashem was paying attention and he didn't close his eyes. Ramban is quoted here as more or less agreeing with the Pshat, and he adds, Al Derech Emes, Yesh, because of Hazeh, Sod Godol, Me Sitre HaTorah. That this is actually a very profound insight into the deepest recesses, the deepest mystical secrets of the way Hashem, so to speak, relates to us. Incredibly, that there's something particularly powerful about this idea of Hashem being aware of, paying attention to, and caring about, I guess you could say humanity, but in really specifically, it seems like the Jewish people. Using this Rashi in the Ramban, says Revolbi, this midah of paying attention, noticing, caring, showing your care and compassion to the people, which is what Hashem is doing at this point, says Revolbi, this is basically, you could call this ha'aras panim, which, you know, when it comes to God, it's the opposite of hester panim, right? Hashem could, so to speak, be hidden from us, or we can, so to speak, see, as it were, Hashem. This idea of Hashem allowing us to see Him is so profound that we have to realize that Nuchal Lahasik Ki Gam Das Adam Hi Me'asod HaGadol Shel Ha'aras Panim. Just like we are intended and obligated even to imitate Hashem in so many other ways, says Revolbi, clearly if this is something that is so profound and so central to Hashem's interaction with the world, then we also have to imitate this midah of Hashem of Ha'aras Panim. And he continues, in other words, as I just mentioned, says Rav Olbi, we know that we were created in the image of God, and different interpretations of what that means about how we were given intellectual and cognitive ability, seichel, which is unique to human beings. Rav Soloveitchik said creativity. All sorts of midos tovos, says Rav Olbi, says Ali Shore, no less than any of those other things. Just as important, we need to realize that an essential obligation, an opportunity for every human being, is to be just like Hashem, that we also have the ability and therefore the obligation of ha'aras panim. Now, obviously, unlike Hashem, who can quote-unquote hide from people, it doesn't mean that the opposite for human beings is to kind of wear a bag over your face or to hide. Obviously, it's more figurative and symbolic in that sense, although we'll see it's also literal. But I think what it's getting at, and as we shall see in the continuation, is on a human level, what this means is literally being aware of, knowing what's going on with other people, and letting them see your face in the sense of showing them that you care about them. And he points out, as a tremendous parallelism, that Hashem is described here as by Rashi as having this koach shel hidbonanut b'li ha'alamat ayin, right? Hashem was aware at this point. He didn't hide his eyes. He didn't close his eyes, so to speak. He knew what was happening to Jewish people. And this is also, Revolbi points out, exactly what we are also told about Moshe. When he goes out of the palace, leaves his silk slippers and goes to the slave pits, Vayar b'siv lo sam, he sees the suffering of the Jewish people. And Rashi there says, almost an identical lashon, nasan eina v'libo lios meitzer aleihem. In other words, says Revolbi, Moshe Rabbeinu haya b'sod hadas v'aras panim, u'bazeh haya roi lios shaliach HaGeula. Exactly the way Hashem is being described here, with this knowledge, and knowledge is translated into being aware and showing a concern, that's called Ha'aras Panim. So too, that's exactly what Moshe was described as. And says Rav Volbi, it's not a coincidence, because it's really this is what made Moshe the right person, gave him the merit to be the one who's chosen to be the redeemer of the Jewish people. If you turn over the page, we'll skip a little bit. He quotes a Gemara. The Gemara is in Masechta Makos, which talks about how towards the end of his life, Moshe separated three Arei Miklat in Eiver HaYarden, Mizracha Shemesh, as the sun was coming up, as it were. And the Gemara in Makos there has two different opinions about why we need to know that what time of day it was and what was going on with the sun. And it's a play on words, so to speak. And there's two opinions. One say that Moshe was being complimented for what he had already done for the people who had killed by accident, the Rotzeach B'Shogeg, who has to run to an Ir Miklat, and the fact that there are all sorts of services that would be provided to the Rotzeach when he's in the Ir Miklat. The other opinion says that it refers to Moshe being commanded in the future now to further set up Arei Miklat. But either way, the language in the Gemara about both opinions, playing off the words of the Pasuk, is Hazrachas Shemesh, that Moshe was Zareach or Zarach, he, so to speak, showed the sun rising, as it were, to the murderers, which again is clearly intended to be symbolic. That is to say, that Moshe showed a certain compassion and care, and he worried about protecting, and not only protecting, but nurturing and rehabilitating someone who's a Rotzeach B'Shogeg. Incredible, says Rav Volbi. Lo matzi avi ha-nevi'im mitzvah yoser chashuva litasek ba samach l'misaso elazu. Lazriach shemesh l'koshi yom omlalim. Amazingly, Moshe, towards the end of his life, in the very last moments and chapter and days and weeks of his life, Moshe is doing what? He's worrying about the Nebuch, the downtrodden, the person who's really in a pickle, who killed someone by accident, and now his whole life is turned upside down. He has to run away. He has to make sure that the family does not avenge the death of their loved one and kill him, and he has to move his family and move himself to the Ir Miklat. A tremendous act of care, compassion for the needy. Says Rav Volbi, incredibly, we have bookends of Moshe's life. He began his life, his career, as it were, first thing we're told about him, as an adult, the Yarbis of Losam. He saw this, the suffering of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. And the last thing we're told about him in that sense, the Arei Miklat. Kol Chayav, Hazracha Shemesh, Kabira L'Doro U'L'Chol Dorot. The whole essence of Moshe's life was this, so to speak, burning sun, or the shining sun, as it were. His friendly face, his knowledge, his awareness, his compassion for his fellow man, his fellow Jew. The Sefer continues and gives two other examples, both in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, one from a Yalkut, and one from the Gemara in Ksubis, in which Rabbi Yochanan also seems to talk about how important it is to be aware of and to show people that you notice them and you care about them. So just to take one example, he quotes from the Gemara in Ksubis, Rabbi Yochanan says, Hamal bin shinayim l'chavero. If you show the whiteness of your teeth, as Rashi explains, by smiling, you reveal your teeth, the whiteness of your teeth, you are helping a person more than if you gave them milk to drink. There is the white of the milk, the white of the teeth, says Rabbi Yochanan, the smile can be even more healthy and beneficial for the person than the milk. Hari kamosh ein lanu ela ha'aras panim belvad mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kach ein gan adam mechaveru ela ha'chiyuch va'aras panim. Just like the most important thing we can have from Hashem is Him knowing us. We want to know that He knows us, that He cares about us. So too, that's the most important thing one human being can give to another. He points out, continuing on to the bottom of the page, the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalid, Rav Masya ben Charash Amar, Havim Maktim Shalom Kol Adam. Doesn't just say you should say hello to every person, but rather you should initiate saying hello to every person. As Rav Volbi so sharply comments, Hameshiv Shalom Makayim Mitzvah Derech Eretz. If you reply to someone who says hello to you, that's just Derech Eretz. Now that should not be taken for granted. You know, there are certain neighborhoods in New York, you say hello to a person, they look at you like you just insulted their mother. You've got to be careful. You don't want to, and I don't just mean that. It could be in the Jewish community too. In certain communities, you say good Shabbos to a person, they barely look at you, you'll be lucky if they grunt back. So, being Meshiv Shalom shouldn't be taken for granted, says Rav Volbi. That's also Derech Eretz. But that's not what Pirkei Avos was imploring us to do. Not just return a kind word or a hello, but rather, Hamakdim Shalom, Mazrich Shemesh L'Chavero. If you actually are the one who initiates and says hello to someone, that's not just Derech Eretz, that's much more than that. That's this idea of shining a light, if you will, of being aware and caring, and smiling, so to speak, making someone feel seen, feel important. That's what you do when you initiate, not just when you respond. That is the goal. He points out at the bottom of the page here, and this is something that's so hardwired into us, even young children and babies are aware of this. Tinok pa'ut, mavchin kvar ben panim zafot upanim mi'irot. Even a young child, a toddler, tells the difference, can tell the difference between a sullen, sad, or angry face and a happy, kind, and loving face. Mestaklim bo mitoch chiba, hu mefazez v'tsohel negdecha. When you look at a child, you stare at him with love, with a smile, they can go crazy and be jubilant. And I'm particularly sensitive to this because, thank God, Kanan Har, my almost 10-month-old grandson, and he is, of course, unique and special in so many ways. But in this, he's not unique or special because every baby is like this. They reach that age when once they can, you know, once you're sure that it's actually a smile and not just gas, you know, it's one of the greatest things ever when a child smiles and you see them happy. And very, very often, they're smiling because the adult, the parent, the grandparent, the loved one, is smiling to them. They absolutely notice it. They can feed off it. On the contrary, he says, the opposite. But if you look angry at them, they could start crying. Children at a very, very young age can read and respond like a mirror back to people based on whether they are looking happy and loving or sad or angry. Miyodea, incredible statement, says Revolvi. What an incredible, insightful parenting statement. Miyodea, mama vriu mafateach yoter es hayeled. Who can say what is more important to the health and development of a child? Hamazon hamugash lo, or aras panim shemarim lo? What's more important to the development and health of a child? The food you feed him, or the love that you show with your smiling, caring, and compassionate face? Wow. That's quite a statement. Ubaror v'yaduhu, he continues. Kiyad ha-gadol b'li ha-aras panim, doma b'diuk l'tsomeach, ha-gadel b'li shemesh, y'efsher shiyabari. Wow, another incredible comment. A child who grows up without a parent, without people in his life or her life, seeing them, caring about them, and showing that awareness and compassion through a smile, through a loving face, that is as if a plant or a flower is trying to grow without sunlight. It will not end well. It continues on to the next page. Miidach, tinok poet, paut, excuse me, kvar nikar koach zeh shel ha'aras panim. But not only do a child respond to our smile and our happy face, children themselves already have this koach. Kishemofia al panav hachiyuch harishon, that first time you see a child smile, kvar henu na'ale al kol ba'alechayim hagedolim. That's already a sign that this is a human being more superior to any animal, right? You ever see a hippopotamus smile? An elephant smile, a bird smile? Of course not. One of the unique characteristics, this is incredible that he would notice this and make such a big deal about it, but Revolvi is telling us not to underestimate that one of the unique facets of a human being, our ability to smile. B'chiyuch zeh bokar ha'aras panav ha'neshama mei machbu'eha b'omkei ha'guf ha'katan v'ha'chalash hazeh. Incredible, says Revolvi. From that smile is coming from, it is emerging from, the light of the neshama. We are smiling from our soul. That's a true smile, a true joy of life, is a spiritual thing. It comes from something deep, deep inside, and it's expressed through the smile. The more a child grows up, says Revolvi, in a healthy way, the more he or she will similarly show a healthy love, compassion, smile, and awareness to everyone around him or her. Now on this last page, after the three dots, we get to the last section of the piece, and Revolvi just takes this one final step further. And he explains how not only do we have the ability for this, but how every one of us need and are craving this from other people. Hatamin mitzape l'haras p'nei rabo. A student is deeply desirous of their teacher, the Rebbe, knowing him or her, seeing him or her, showing a care and compassion for them. But, says Revolvi, so sharply, it's not just in one direction, the student. Ach gam harav, mitzapel aras panim mitzad talmidav. Teachers also want this. Teachers need this from their students. Just like a student, craves the appreciation, the knowledge, knowledge, the concern of the students, of the teacher, excuse me. The teacher also wants and needs that same acknowledgement, appreciation from the students. Banim, somchem al chemas harem. It's true. Children are entirely dependent on the mercy, the compassion, the love of their parents. Ach, gam ha-hurim, re'evim u'te'evim la'hazarachas shemesh me'es b'nehem. But again, this is so powerful and profound, so vulnerable that Rav Volbi would express this. So obviously true and authentic, but still a sort of vulnerability and a compellingness that he's willing to say it. Says Rav Volbi, parents also are starving, thirsting for their children to show them that love, that compassion, that appreciation. In this sense, he says, incredible, habonim afhein balabatim al horeim. In a certain sense, the children are the boss. Not in the way that, you know, it could be that in certain families, the children are so spoiled, they get whatever they want. That's not what he means at all, of course. But rather, there is something that the children have that the parents need and only the children can give them. In that sense, the children have something over their parents. Shem einem marim lehem haras panim, heim mashkinim b'lev avihem, v'imam choshech afela, u'mechabim ha'or hazarua al chayehem. What powerful words, says Rav Volbi, for a child to withhold and not show a love, a compassion, appreciation of his or her parents, you are extinguishing the light in your father or your mother. You are making them, so to speak, live in darkness. For a parent to not feel loved by the child is just as devastating to the parent in some way as if the child wouldn't feel loved by the parent. And he points out this is true in other relationships as well. Obviously, a child and a parent is the most intense. He doesn't mention it, but I would say this is obviously true for marriage, for spouses. And he says this is even true in other commercial relationships that you have. Customers, wholesalers, business compatriots and partners, each one wants to be seen, wants to be appreciated, wants the person who he's negotiating with or doing business with or even fighting with to understand where he's coming from. That is an important thing. Furthermore, in the next paragraph, he points out that the prohibition to bribe a judge in halacha is referred to as lo sakiru panim bamishpat, right? A judge shouldn't favor one party. And that's referred to, again, I know this my whole life, I guess you could say, but I never really noticed the language. But now, of course, it jumps off the page. The whole piece is Rav Volbi talking about the ha'aras panim, the way you show your face, the way you look towards another person and make them feel what in your heart because of what's on your face. So isn't it striking, Rav Volbi notices, that this issue of being a biased or bribed judge is called takir panim. And we see from this, says the halacha, azhar ladayin shal yerach lezeh v'kash lezeh, shouldn't favor one litigant over the other. And we are told that if a person does do that, if a judge does that, they're mistatmin ta'anosav. You are, so to speak, silencing the party that feels biased against. They won't be able to fully argue their ta'anot. Says Rav Volbi, I don't understand. Just because you shouldn't be biased, you shouldn't play favorites. But how does me showing favoritism to one of the litigants silence the other litigant? Says Rav Volbi, you see from this, we should really need to appreciate the power. Zohar roshem shall start pnei hadayin. Hasotemet kol machshavatav machlisha es da'ato koch nora. Zetamun bahastarat panav shel adam. It gives you an appreciation for just how powerful this is. If the litigant would see, would feel seen, would feel heard, would feel that he's getting a fair shake, and that you appreciate what he's going through, even if in the end he ends up not winning, but he'll feel appreciated, he'll be able to be himself and fully articulate his opinion. But if from the moment that the litigant feels, one side feels that I'm not really being seen, I'm not really being heard, the person's already biased against me, they can't function, they can fall apart. That's how important being seen, being heard, being appreciated is. And now he goes on to the final part of the piece, in which he says, and he points out that really we are talking about two sides of the same coin, but we have to be clear about not confusing them or making sure we realize that there are two sides. Shnei kochot eila, heim ha'yisod l'chaya ha'chever ha'noshit. It's the two sides of the coin, these two powers, which are form, in combination, the basis of all human interaction. Ha'chad, ra'avon kol adam. There's a hunger that every person has that they should be seen, that there should be a ha'aras panim, they should feel that other people notice them and care about them. But the flip side of this, hasheni, in a certain sense, just as important. Koch hanasina shel ha'aras panim hashatul b'lev kol bali neshama, is how important it is and how powerful and energizing it is to be a giver, to show people ha'aras panim, to see people, to be friendly to them, to be kind to them, to smile toward them. This is all incredibly important and incredibly necessary. Without that, we can't survive. And I remember many years ago, I think it was when Rabbi J.J. Schachter first became a professor at OYU. He had been in New York at a shul, then he was in a kind of a think tank or something like that, an organization, not a think tank, but an organization in Boston. Both of those, obviously, I think most of his work was with adults. And then he had students, college age, but students when he became a professor at OYU and at Stern. And I remember around that time, he visited our shul in Baltimore. And I remember him telling me how excited he was, not only for the lectures that he was giving, because he always gave lectures, but all of a sudden now he had young people, men, and I think especially the women, who thought of him as a Rebbe. They'd make appointments, they'd come see him in his office, and they'd want to talk about life. And he himself said how he hopes that he's providing some valuable service to his students, but they are for sure providing a valuable service to him. He quoted the Chazal that more than the calf wants to drink the milk, the mother wants to milk the baby. You know, that it's the desire of someone in such a position to be a giver is more, can be stronger and can be more important than the desire of the recipient to get what he or she or it needs. But there's a desire. This is the second point that Rav Volbi's making. It's not just the fact that every person is starving, as he says, to receive other people's awareness, love, and compassion, but we need to give it. He points out that in many of the situations which you see that there are problems between two sides, that they're not talking, that they're distant from each other, they're living in an embittered situation. If we would think about, again, obviously, I'm sure Volbi would admit that no two situations are the same, but if we were trying to find some common thread, some common denominator, in many, if not all, of the situations, it could be parent and child alienation. It could be a marriage which is no longer warm, close, and loving. It could be a professional relationship that has fallen apart. What is the common denominator, if we can find one, that links many of these situations where there is a distance and pain in the relationship? Says Rav Volbi, he thinks in most of the cases we would find Nira ki tamid adam mechake l'chaveiro shehalo yadchil litkarev elav v'kacha mechakim ad bosh. It's that each side is waiting for the other to take the first step. You want to be heard, you want to be validated, you want to be respected, and you are waiting for, and demanding in a sense, that your coworkers, your spouse, your children will see you, will respect you, will care about you, will be sensitive to you and your needs. And until that happens, you just wait, because they should start. And that's how the other side feels. And in the end, both sides just remain distant, and they both suffer. Every teacher really wants the students not only to appreciate the classes, but as I mentioned before in the story, teachers love to be consulted. They want to feel needed and want to be able to give advice about life. So the teacher is waiting for the student to knock on his door, but the students are also waiting for the teachers to show that the teacher cares about him or her. Not only teachers, the Rav Biro, the rabbi, the community rabbi, he wants that the balabatim should consult with him, should care about his opinion, should care about him. Ilo ha'eda mamtina li yozmar harav, she'erid l'toch ba'ayuta, ye'murav b'chaya. And each of the balabatim, the community, they don't want the rabbi to be in the ivory tower, they want the rabbi to care about them, be part of their lives, to initiate. Each side, though, God forbid, is just waiting for the other one to make the first move. Kal echad choshev al atzad shekenegdo, and when that doesn't happen, when there's distance, that each side theorizes in their own head, we become trapped in the imagination, if you will, the delusions of our own mind, and we imagine, we surmise, we come up with all sorts of reasons why this person, it's my spouse, it's my coworker, it's my child, is alienated from me, is not. We assume all sorts of things, and says Rav Volbi, most of the time, it's a mistake. Ain't kan lo tam, Volonia Nimuk. There's no red, big, deep thing. Bechlal. Rak das chaserakan. It's not that they thought this and this about you. It's that they're not thinking about you at all. They're not thinking, what would this person need? What do I need to show this person? Hayidia rishonasha alay lahazriach shimshi ulaher panim. The person is not thinking that I have to be the one who starts. Let me show the person, the, so to speak, the light of my neshama. Let them see the happiness in my life. Let me smile at them. Let me ask how they're doing. Let me say hello. Litbonein. Let me think about what must be going on in their life. V'lo l'halim ayin. In other words, we saw this, and this is how we started the piece from Hashem. Right? It wasn't just that Rashi describes as ha'aras panim, but specifically the Torah describes, and this is the words that Rashi was going on, Vayeda Elokim. To know a deep type of knowledge. Obviously, we're not talking about IQ or book knowledge, but what we would call now EQ. This is the Sod HaGadol that Hashem has. The importance of EQ, the emotional intelligence, of thinking about the other person. What could they need? How could my smile, my quick, easy, good word, my text, could take a half a second? What can that do for them? How could that lift them up? That they feel seen, that they feel heard, they feel validated, they feel cared about. Halavai, they feel loved. Instead of thinking, oh, this person's not talking about me, or not coming over to me, not being nice to me because they don't like me, or because this and that. Says Rav Volpe, most of the time, it's nothing to do with that. They're just not thinking at all. That's not a defense. It's an indictment, but it's a different indictment. It's not that they're thinking about you and they have some deep, sophisticated, well-thought-out reason why they're not being nice. It's that they're not thinking at all. And that is the problem. We have to be thinking about other people. We have to be makdim shalom, as it said in Pirkei Avos and we mentioned previously. Not wait for them to say hello to us, if you will, or smile at us, but us to think about them, to reach out first, to be the first person, to smile, to show compassion and concern. As Rav Volpe said previously, each smile comes from the neshama. It's the way the neshama, so to speak, shares in a physically visible way that it thinks about someone else. It's caring about someone else. If we do that, that ha'aras panim, then we are, not only as the Ramban had taught us, we're modeling Hashem's sod. We saw it's Moshe Rabbeinu, the bookends of his life. And I think really, if we think about this, it seems to be such a small thing, if you will. But I think Rav Volpe is clearly making the point that it is not small at all. It's profound, it's significant. And I, as I said, I think if we would take this lesson to heart of this parak, it could literally change our lives. Think about the kind of people we would be, the kind of spouses, the parents, the coworkers, the neighbors, the friends that we could be. If we're always thinking about other people and being aware that even things as small as how we look at them, that I see them, that they feel that I see them, that I'm compassionate, that I'm concerned, that I validate them, that I care about them, that I see them and I know that they're there. I'm not oblivious to them. How important that is for other people and how important that would be for us.